بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I should like to, first of all, I should like to welcome all the participants, and especially our esteemed Iranian presenter, Dr. Fariba Alasvant, and our Italian guest, Professor Jacinta Vigas. First of all, I welcome everybody here, and then I should like to ask Dr. Fariba Alasvand to start his speech, please.
Thank you. سعی میکنم بله معرفی کنم بلشون شروع کنم
excuse me Dr. Vigas, could you please introduce yourself and start your speech?
Thank you so much. So just want to thank, first of all, before I begin anything to say, thanks to the Research Institute of Islamic and Philosophy and Theology. So this is a beautiful opportunity, and I'm happy to participate in this conferences. And my theme is Feminine Culture and Women's Experiences on Basic Ethical Issues in the Bible. Or at least this is the theme that I have. And I would like to divide my talk, keeping in mind the three things that are there in the title. We are talking about basic ethical issues. We are talking about these things in the Bible and the important role of women in the Bible regarding the ethical issues. The theme is very, very vast. And I had to condense very much in synthesis what are the experiences of the women regarding the biblical issues. For me personally, as a Catholic and as a Christian, biblical ethics initiates and captures its importance at the very outset of creation, that is, in the first book of the Bible, when God himself introduces it, when he repeatedly declares that his own work of creation as good. Everything that he creates is good. So the basic ethical issue, the basic morality, begins with the goodness. Each one tends towards good, and the source and the fountain of this goodness is God himself. When God created human being, especially the book says, the book of Genesis says, he gave Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, responsibilities to fulfill the good, and provided them the standards to live by that good. So what we have in the first narration of the biblical book is God, who is good, what he created is good, and among this creation, human being, man and woman as good, and they are given the responsibility to maintain and carry forward this good. Obviously, biblical ethics also points out that human fragility, the human weakness, falls and does something that is against this goodness. So what we have then the human being who is created good chooses something that is bad, and from here begins the tension between good and bad. And that is the foundation of the structure and the struggle for ethics. This God, who sees that the human being is capable, because this is the responsibility that he gave to the human being, who begins his relationship with the choice of Israel, the people of God, by giving them the ethical rule or charter to govern their behavior toward him and among themselves, since he gives them the norm to live up to this goodness. Centuries of human history, which the Bible considers as human history, and this human history as a culmination in getting back this man, this human being, with man and woman. And this is called the redemption. The fall is not the end of it. What remains, what survives, is the good. So God began his relationship with the elect people by giving them an ethical, a moral norm to govern their behavior toward him and among themselves. So centuries later, when Jesus, the Son of the Creator God, appeared on the scene to bring to the climax the redemptive history of man. So he too started by issuing an ethical manifesto, ethical norm, to provide guidance for the conduct of his disciples. And these disciples are man and woman.
Thank you. Let me put what you've already said into passion for the audience here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ایشون ابتدا خیلی تشکر کردن از مشارکت تعداد قابل توجهی از اصحاب رشته های الهیات از جمع خانم ها که در اینجا تشریف آوردن و گفتن موقعیت خیلی خوبیه و این موقعیت رو خیلی قدردان هستن. ایشون در خصوص بحث فرهنگ خانواده و بحث تربیت دارن کار میکنن، صحبت میکنن و تو صحبتاشون اشاره کردن که عناصر اصلی اخلاقی در تربیت و نقش مهم خانم ها و زنان در انجیل بارها گفته شده و این همون نقش تربیتی و فرهنگ سازی رو میرسونه. ایشون میگن که تجربیاتی که زنان درباره مسائل فرهنگی و خانواده و اینها دارن، اینها در دیدگاه کاتولیکی در انجیل هم گفته شده. مخصوصا میفرماد که در کتاب اول انجیل در سفر پیدایش این آمده که زن اصل خانواده و بنیانگذار حیات اجتماعی است. بعدشون اشاره کردن وقتی که خداوند انسان رو خلق کرد، در کتاب پیدایش آنگونه که این گونه آمده گفته شده که به آدم و حوا مسئولیت داد تا آزاد باشند و فرزندان خود رو تربیت بکنند. در همین کتاب اول انجیل در سفر پیدایش اینجوری آمده که آدم و حوا خوب هستند و مسئولیت این خوبی و ادامه این خوبی رو در بین فرزندان خودشون و در کره زمین دارن. البته اخلاق انجیلی به نقاط ضعف انسانی هم اشراف داره و اینکه انسان‌ها یک میلی به بدی هم دارند و از اینجا چالش میان خیر و شر به وجود میاد و چالش اخلاقی رو ایجاد میکنه. این خداوند میدانست که انسان قادر است که رابطه خود رو با سایر افراد ایجاد بکنه و از همینجا در واقع خداوند یک تعداد از افراد خوب رو انتخاب کرد که بقیه افراد رو به راه راست هدایت بکنن. منظورشون پیغمبران خدا هستن. قرنهایی که در اینجا در این تاریخ آمده و در این دوره بهش دوره نجات بخشی گفته میشه، ریدمشن، این نجات بخشی، میگه که این دوره به این دورهی که دورهایی که پیامبران آمدن دورهای نجات بخشی متصف است. خداوند به همه به افراد خاص این هنجارهای بالای اخلاقی رو داده که دیگر افراد رو بتوانند به این سطح بالای اخلاق برسانند و انسانها رو بتوانند به نقطه متعالی هدایت بکنند. continue, please.
At the heart of Jesus' ethical call, at the heart of Jesus' teaching, the biblical ethics gets very concrete expression. Jesus becoming man, God as he is becoming man, shows the human being very concretely, very practical way by living he himself. The ethical call is to love God and love others. So this is the highest commandment in the Christian teaching, to love God and love others. And this is the highest good. A call that resounds throughout the rest of the New Testament is a call that involves both man and woman. Therefore, for Christians and for us Catholics in particular, an even greater incentive to explore biblical ethics is the fact that ethics finds its foundation in God himself and loving him and loving others as his own shadow or the image. Biblically speaking, it is God as creator of a morally ordered universe. And as an absolutely perfect being who is the author of morality, it is God who involved the creation with norms and standards and holds its inhabitants, both men and women, answerable to him. In biblical terms then, ethics is not human invention. It is rooted in God himself. Men and women both and equally play an important role in the basic ethical issues within that God's work of creation and redemption. In the Old Testament, which proclaims the divine principle about God's concern for his creation, it is the concern that places human beings, men and women alike, in a relationship with him so that they might participate in an association with him despite the original sin, the fall, the choice of human being to do bad, and anticipate their redemption by being in the person of Christ who did not sin. However, so this is biblical ethics. However, throughout the history of Christianity, at times the biblical passages have been used to teach female inferiority and to prescribe narrow roles for women. At the same time, the scriptures' teaching on women has been examined to explore the vital importance for rethinking on basic ethical issues of human relationship, particularly regarding right to life, gender equality, family issues, etc., insofar as we may distinguish the biblical characteristics in order to learn from the particular success and failure of our predecessor of faith. We have much to learn from the witness of biblical women. Three general themes are evident where women contribute fully and in exhaustive manner for the work of God's creation and redemption. That is, humanity's place in God's creation and God's election. Humanity's place in God's election. God chooses both men and women. Humanity's place in Lord's redemption. Both men and women play equally. And the fundamental dignity of mankind, where women's role is very, very important. In fact, I'm going to show you in especially the first two, three books of the Bible, how the women carry forward God's work of good, God's work of redemption right away in the beginning of the books of the Bible.
Thank you very much. ببخشید ایشون رو خیلی خیلی تونتون صحبت میکنم. من فقط مجبورم که رؤوس مطالبشون میبینم. ایشون میفهمن که در اخلاق مسیحی و انجیلی خداوند به صورت انسان نشان داده شده که راه‌های عملی رو داره نشون میده که این در واقع در بردارنده عشق به خداوند و عشق به دیگران و انجام دادن خوبی هاست. میفهمن که بر اساس این اخلاقی که در انجیل آمده گفته شده، بر اساس این در واقع پایه ما میتوانیم به دوست داشتن مرد و زن به عنوان مخلوقان خداوند پی ببریم و این بنیادهای اخلاقی انجیلی همین علاقه به خدا، علاقه به مردم و علاقه به نمادهای خداوند رو هم در پی می آورد. خداوند به ما یاد میده که ما مردم به عنوان در واقع مخلوقات خدا همه رو دوست داشته باشیم. میفهمم که البته اخلاق به این شکل در انجیل به این صراحت تئوریک نیومده، بلکه این نجات بخشی از صفات خداوند است. خداوند مسئولیت هدایت اخلاقی مردم رو به عهده داره، اما مردم هم به عنوان مخلوقان خداوند میتوانند به امر خدا یا به امر خداوند پیوسته یا راه دیگری رو انتخاب بکنن. البته میفهمم که راه دیگری، مسئله دیگری هم وجود داشته و آنه که یک نگاه در واقع تبعیض‌آمیز نسبت به حق زنها بوده و مردها رو برتر دیدند. اما در نگاه اصلی که خب از انجیل میتوان به عنوان کلام خداوند استفاده کرد، این است که زنها و مردها حقوق یکسانی باید داشته باشن. از مردان و زنان که در انجیل توصیف شدن باید خیلی چیزها رو بیاموزیم و همه برای همه مردم، همه انسانها باید برای کل انسانها و هم برای رضایت خدا کار بکنن. انسانیتی که خداوند به انسان داده در پی این بحث نجات بخشی مطرح میشه و بعد اون بحث کرامت اصلی انسان مطرح میشه که این در یکی دو سه کتابی که در انجیل هست، که در دو سه کتاب انجیلی اینها نشون میده که خداوند چگونه کمک میکنه به افراد که بتوانند به هم نوعان خودشون کمک بکنن. آجاب ببخشید نظرم خود که صحبتشون تمام میشه سرکار خانم شروع بکنن. 5 minutes. Okay, you have around 5 more minutes time, okay? And then it's the turn of our colleague to present her talks.
Okay. So there are numerous women in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but we must examine a few key women with the silent roles in God's election and redemption. And some of these women feature in a single verse of the Bible, such as the servant girl of Naaman's wife, while others, such as Ruth and Esther, have whole narratives woven around them and the books named after them. Some female characters remain nameless and voiceless, such as wife of the king of Jeroboam. Others, for instance, the wise women of Abel Beth Maka, negotiate on behalf of their community, or speak to power the daughters of Zelophehad. Several women are one-dimensional, serving a single purpose in the narrative, while others are more complex. Yet, each serve to move biblical narrative forward. The women of the Bible are regularly read in terms of literary types, such as matriarch, ancestress, temptress, and the foreign women. For Christians, the women of the Hebrew Bible are often understood through the lens of the New Testament, where they may feature as an analogy or an example, such as Hagar and Sarah, contrasting motives of slavery and liberty in the writings of Paul. So as I said, the biblical women are many and the number is so vast. Their contribution is not highlighted very clearly. However, they are very, very important in carrying forward the purpose of God and the purpose of redeeming the people of God and purpose of bringing to the salvation of the human beings. So women's role as equal to that of men are very clear in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, we have got three personalities. Eve, who is interpreted as a temptress, Sarah, who is considered to be the mother of the blessings through Abraham, and Rebecca, who is the wife of Isaac. So these three women play an important role in the life of men who have taken the blessing of Yahweh, blessing of God. However, they live in subordination to each other. There are times when Abraham obeys Sarah. There are times when Sarah obeys Abraham. The work of redemption, the work of God, carries forward in this very strict collaboration between man and woman. The entire problem, entire issue regarding the discarding role of the women comes from the interpretation. The Christian church, Catholic church in a very particular manner, gives the freedom for the biblical scholars, the scholars of the study of the Bible, to interpret the scripture based on the historical critical criticism. But at the same time, the church permits them to study the text with a synchronic manner, that is, the text within the text, what does the message of the text convey to the people who read it. But this freedom given by the church to the biblical scholars, depending upon their context, their historical background, did lead to a patriarchal interpretation of the scripture. Fortunately, the Catholic Church is very much aware of this problem in the history of the interpretation of the scripture, and from Vatican Council II, that is in 1965 onwards, there is a very clear role assigned to the women based on the role of the women in the Bible. The church, Catholic Church, has proceeded by giving very much importance to the women. And just now, in the coming this year, in October 2023, the Pope Francis has called for the synodality. And in the synodality, the discussion would be the role of every Christian, man and woman including, for the role of men and women in the life of the church, in the life of human being in the world, and the collaboration of man and woman. So, however, this is because the church is rereading the contribution of the women in the biblical ethical issues, and there have been a lot of progress in this way of thinking from the church. We will not and we cannot discard the dark ages of the biblical interpretation on this issue regarding the women. However, since last 60 to 70 years, the women have played equal role in the church. And
thank you. Do you want to continue?
Yeah.
Do you want to continue? Okay.
Yeah, just I'll conclude with what I was saying. So, Pope Francis has given now a very important administrative role to the women in the Vatican. It's very impressive that there are three important women playing the administrative role in the Catholic Church in the Vatican. The secretary of the administration of, which is a very important role in the entire history of the church, for the first time that happens last year, given to a religious nun. So this is to say, the church is progressively looking into the biblical issues, the way women participated in the life of the church, and how they are very strict collaborator in the life of the church, life of the humanity.
Thank you. چون ایشون فارسی متوجه نمیشن من باید بگم واقعا اگر ایشون متأهل هستن واقعا خدا رحم به شوهرش بکن چون خیلی خیلی تونتون حرف میزنه و اینا. اگرم که خب ازدواج نکردن که خب هیچ. عرض میشه خدمت شما ایشون میفرمایین که در کتاب مقدس خانم های نقش ساکتی دارن، بعضی از خانم ها ساکت هستن، بعضی هم نه فعال هستن، بعضی هم قدرتمند هستن. فما که خانم ها در کتاب انجیل به صورت نمادین نشون داده شدن. تورات رو وقتی میخوایم بررسی بکنیم باید از دیدگاه انجیل یعنی عهد جدید با به سمت تورات بریم. ماجرای هاجر و سارا از همسران از ابراهیم رو نگاه میکنن که اینها هر کدوم به یه شکل متفاوتی دیده میشه، نقشه اینا برجسته نشده، اما در جهت خداوند و نجات بخشی که برای انسان ها مقدر شده بسیار فعالن. شون فهمید در سفر پیدایش سه نفر خانم اینجا ذکر شدن، یکی حضرت حوا هست که همسر حضرت آدم هست، یکی سارا هست همسر حضرت ابراهیم و ربکا همسر اسحاق. این سه نفر مورد عنایات خداوندی بودن و اینها البته سلسله مراتب هم دارن. بعد میفهمید که گاهی حضرت ابراهیم از سارا و گاهی سارا از حضرت ابراهیم تبعیت میکرد. میفهمید کلیسای کاتولیک آزادی رو به عنوان آزادی رو به مفسران انجیلی میده که تفسیرهای منتقدانه تاریخ مسیحیت ارائه بدن، اما این دیدگاه ها گاهی میتوانن به جایی که دیدگاه تاریخی باشن دیدگاه همزمانی باشن، یعنی که به جایی که به قدیم بپردازن به دوران فعلی بپردازن و الان رو تحلیل بکنن دیدگاه. میفهمید خوشبختانه کلیسای کاتولیک از اینجا به دیدگاه‌های بسیار آگاهی بخشی رسیده و نقشه بسیار مهمی رو بر اساس همین دیدگاه‌های انجیلی به خانم‌ها داده. در اکتبر 2023 شباهت‌های بین در واقع کار نقش مدیریتی مردان و زنان مطرح شده و اینکه اینها در تشکیلات کلیسایی با هم دیگر همکاری دارن. کلیسا بازخوانی و نقش اخلاقی این دیدگاه‌ها رو داره دنبال می‌کنه. می‌فهمه که پاپ فرانسیس نقش‌های مهم مدیریتی رو به خانم‌ها در واتیکان داده و الان سکرتر یا اون در دبیر یکی از بخش‌های مهم در واتیکان به یکی از راهبه‌ها داده شده و از اینجاست که ما در واقع می‌بینیم که اون نگاه تبعیض‌آمیز و نگاه در واقع نادرستی که نسبت به خانم‌ها در قرن‌ها قبل در مسیحیت نسبت به خانم‌ها وجود داشته، این نگاه برکنار شده و این نگاه دیگه معتبر نیست. Thank you for your contribution.
Welcome. In the name of God, first I welcome to Professor and welcome to audience and all of people hear us. And I want to talk about culture and female experience in the Quran. First of all, I should to emphasize on this statement that is women in the Quran are mentioned in different dimensions. Women as a valuable human beings, women as a group or citizens in the society, such as mother, wife, and citizen of the city. And in the Quran, there are some concerns areas about women, that women have a lot of duties and rights in some situations, for example, in financial issues. In alimony, in inheritance, divorce, and for example, modesty and family. And there are some statements in the Quran about model role or pattern, women pattern in the history, such as Maria and Asiya, Pharaoh's wife. There are a lot of jurisprudences about women in the individual life or family life or social life, surely I cannot mention to all of statements in Quran about women or about family, but I can give you some examples in all of these aspects I mentioned. For example, in that period of time, I mean 1422 years ago, or 600 years after Jesus' birth, Quran insists on situation or rank of women in the human life. I mean, Quran say about values or valuable situation of women, for, such as equality in humanity, equality in valuable rank, and we have in Quran some verses about that. I cannot mention to all of them, but it's very important for us in that days or in that years. Quran talk about equality in humanity, equality in valuable rank or situation between man and woman. We know in Arab society, they killed infants of girls, and this is a tragedy about women in that time. But Quran insists on the right of life for all of people, so, especially for women. After that, Quran emphasizes on elimination of all traditional, bad traditional things about women. For example, Quran say about some rules in marriages, in marriage or in giving inheritance. Unfortunately, in that time, women به حساب می اومدن یا women were located in inheritance in the family, but in Quran say about their inheritance as a mother, as a girl, as a daughter, as a sister, and in sayings of imams we they talk about inheritance for aunt, for some other, for grandma, and it's it was a new things about women life. After that, I think the Quran has a new style about the marriage and marriage malikiyat nist, ازدواج یک مالکیت نیست. A marriage is not a property for man, and Quran insists on three words in the marriage and introduce the marriage as a situation man and woman can show expressing love between each other and peace, and can experience a lot of peace in the marriage, in the relationship between couples, and mercy. Three words we have in Quran some verses we know that as a Surah Nisa. In Quran we have a سوره رو چی میگن یادم
رفت
chapter special chapter that is named Nisa means women yes so in the first verses in this chapter Quran emphasizes on these three words about marriage I think Quran wanted to establish a new relationship between man and woman in the family and Arab society or other society don't familiar with this concepts and this this words after that we see in Quran the important differences between people, man and woman, is piety, not anything else. It's very important because when we think about the areas, about the atmosphere that Islam appearance in that time, we face up a society killed in front of girls, and they had not any values about the women. And but Quran mentioned to this this concept, and I mean. The only thing, the only reality we can compare man and woman is piety, not not race, not gender, not sexual characters, and other things. Excuse me, I should translate in Persian. من گفتم که قرآن ابعاد مختلف رو در مورد زنان مطرح کرده زنان به مثابه انسان زنان به مثابه یک گروه یا شهروند جامعه که دارای حقوق و تکالیفی هستند در یک سری از عرصه‌های حساس مثل مسائل مالی مثل بحث طلاق مثل بحث عفت و بحث اهمیت خانواده حتی هم جنسگرایی رو هم می‌خواستم بگم مخالفت با اون ولی به خاطر حساسیتش حالا می‌ذارم آخرتر اگر فرصت شد و اینکه به عنوان مادر، به عنوان دختر، به عنوان خواهر در قرآن به این حقوق اشاره شده. اینکه یک الگوی اینکه قرآن یک به سمت زنان الگو هم رفته و تر کرده زنان الگو و شخصیت‌های خاص رو در باره بالاخره الگو سازی در حوزه اخلاق و آخرین نکته هم که توضیح دادم این بود که قرآن یک مدل جدید رو در واقع انگار درباره ازدواج در اون زمان ترتیب داده که روی سه تا تعبیر خیلی تاکید داره یکی اون آرامش و سکینه یکی نشان دادن عشق و علاقه و یکی هم رحمت که این با تجربه اون زمان که در اون 600 سال بعد از میلاد مسیح مطرح شده بحث مهمیه و اینکه تنها معیاری که ما میتونیم مردان و زنان رو باش مقایسه کنیم فقط و فقط بحث تقواست و نه چیز دیگری. I give you an example about the some jurisprudence things in Quran about the women. A lot of verses in Quran in this field, I mean jurisprudence about women, is divorce. As you know, divorce is a concern area for us in this time. Today's we face up a lot of oppression against women in this situation. And you know, in Islam view, we believe in marriage and believe in divorce as a natural law because we think two people probably two people cannot continue their life as a family and they should have right if they want to divorce or break up in their family. So in Quran, pay attention a lot about the jurisprudence's law for women. For example, I think when Quran want to talk about divorce, emphasizes on jurisprudence and culture of jurisprudence. I call this concept as a word. Culture of jurisprudence, maybe we can introduce this by this word, for example, ethics of jurisprudence. Because in Quran, when talk about the rules in divorce, talk about the ethic in divorce. For example, men don't have any rights to get ruel zulm kardan setam kardan to do unjust against women. And in all of verses about divorce, God talked to man, such as this word, you cannot make women as a second sex in this relationship. You have to give them their rights, their financial rights, and you cannot forbidden women as a mothers to visit their children, and other cultural or ethical things in these verses. After that, I want to talk about the mother role or superior women in the Quran. Quran, as you mentioned in the Bible, Quran talk about Maria, talk about Pharaoh's wife, talk about Sarah, talk about Hajar, and the most important thing about Maria in Quran that I think you don't see this statement in the Bible is the Maria is sanctified because her characteristics, personal features. So in the Quran, it seems Maria has some holy characters. For example, she has modesty. She was honest. She was faithful. And because of that, she could get a spiritual of Jesus, of God. I mean, this subjectivity and these characters and features in the Maria is very interesting for us when Quran want to introduce Maria. I mean, the honor, the proud of Maria is not just the motherhood of Jesus. And be proud of Maria because of her characters, her features, and we see this statement about Pharaoh's wife. Asiya had agency. I want to utilize this word about Asiya. She had a lot of agency. She has a lot of faith despite her cultural and her family environment. She lived with Frau who say, I am only God for creation, but against that and insist of that, he chose a personal way to God, and I want to say about her interesting words when she got conversation with God. She said, God, in exchange for this suffering I had, built a house for me in the heaven and nearby yourself. I mean, she could exchange a lot of wealthy, a lot of peaceful, a lot of good situation with suffering, but just for God. This exchanging needs a lot of faithful, a lot of agency in the personality, I think. I can give you an abstract in English. Quran has a lot of statements in philosophical words and concepts, has a lot of jurisprudence statements about man and woman, has a lot of ethical words and ethical statements about life, and we can achieve special conceptual theories about women and men and family in Quran. Thank you. اشاره کردم به این که درباره قرآن، البته حالا چون فرصت فکر میکنم خیلی نداشتم، مثلا یکی از عرصه‌های خیلی خطیری که قرآن بهش اشاره میکنه بحث طلاقه، که طلاق همین الان هم برای ما یک عرصه مسئله سازه، و در اون زمان قرآن اشاره میکنه به مسئله طلاق در زنان و اینکه حالا یکی از پرسیاق‌ترین آیات قرآن درباره طلاق درباره زنان، و اینکه دائما اشاره میکنه به قانون و اخلاق قانون. یعنی یه چیزی رو من به کار بردم به نام فرهنگ قانون، چون بهش معتقدم که در قرآن کریم هست و در دین ما هست، و این فرهنگ قانون و اخلاق قانون در واقع با مایه کنترل کننده بالاخره فقه ما هست، و مایه حالا اینو این جمله رو اونجا انگلیسی نگفتم، ولی کنترل کننده اون اقتدارها و اتوریته هاست که در احکام ممکنه برای گروهی وجود داشته باشه. و طبیعتاً مرتب اینکه شما باید به خداوند جواب بدین، شما باید حقوق زنان رعایت بکنید، اینها در آیات مختلف قرآن اومده. اشاره کردم به زنان برتر و اینکه مثلا در قرآن شما یه جمله‌ای داریم که اصلاً در بایبل نیست، و اون اینه که درباره حضرت مریم خداوند خود مریم را قدیسه می‌داند و می‌گوید مریم به خاطر اینکه مثلا عفیف بود و به خاطر اینکه صدیقه، یعنی تصدیق کننده خداوند بود، و به خاطر اینکه معتقد بود، ما نور عیسی را به او دادیم. یعنی اون سابجکتیویتی مال خود حضرت مریمه و اون عظمت مال اوست، تنها افتخارش این نیست که مادر عیسی است. و درباره آسیه و اون گفتگویی که داشت، که علارغم اون شرایط خیلی فوق‌العاده‌ای که در زندگی داشت، اما اعتقاد رو قبول میکنه با دنیای از رنج، و این رنج رو اینجوری با خداوند معامله میکنه که برای من این رو تبدیل کن به یک خانه در بهش در نزد خودت. و در نهایت اینکه قرآن هم در مباحث حکمی، هم در مباحث اخلاقی و هم در مباحث حقوقی گزارهای مختلفی داره.
چجوری
Thank you. Thank you for your listening to our colleague's lecture. Do you have any questions? You, our guest, our esteemed guest from Italy. Do you have any question? Have you got any question?
Talking about me?
Do you have any question?
Questions as such, no. Just want to clarify on the presentation of Mary, Maria in the Bible. Just a clarification. Certainly, Mary is venerated by the Christian church in a very particular manner by the Catholics and also the Orthodox Catholic Church. Not only because she is the mother of Jesus. Certainly from the pretext of her, the characteristics, her features, and the humility and the honesty and the purity with which Mary lived before, lived during, and lived after. One important element to be taken from the Gospels. When Mary presents at the wedding at Cana, in one of the very important episodes, so that happens to be the first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of John, the last of the Gospels, where at the wedding at Cana, Jesus performs the miracle from turning water into wine. And Mary's role in that miracle is that she tells Jesus indirectly, literally, knowing the son, tells indirectly that they have no wine. And she expected him to do the miracle, but she does not pronounce it, leaves it completely free to his son. But the answer of Jesus to our ears, listening to that passage, listening to Jesus, after 2,000 years of history, to our ears, the response of Jesus is very crude in the sense, what have I to do with you, woman? As if Jesus is not respecting Mary, as if Jesus is discarding her role, as if he doesn't want to value her in front of the public. But mother is a mother, woman is a woman. She knew very well what Jesus intended. She knew very well what is the context. She does not retaliate against her son. She still says to the servants, do what he says. And she knew very well that son will not do against what mother desired. So Mary's role is indirectly as a perfect woman. She is a mother, but most of the time, Jesus does not care that she is the mother. That doesn't mean that she lost because Jesus did not show it in the public. So Mary is very important in this sense. She is a true woman. And all the qualities of a woman that is expected right from the creation are found in Mary. And that is what is expected from a Christian woman and from every woman for that matter. So this is just a clarification. Just as what certainly Quran in this sense, if I understood rightly, gives the features very clearly. But Bible shows it by the living of Mary. It does not pronounce the characteristics because for the New Testament, for the Bible, the role of God and Jesus is very important. All the other roles are coordinating, but they are not emphasized. What is important is the message of God and message of Jesus. Thank you so much.
Thank you. ایشون اشاره کردن به در واقع آخرای کتاب انجیل یوحنا اشاره کردن، در کتاب مقدس اشاره کردن که در اونجا یه گفتگوی بین حضرت عیسی و حضرت مریم صورت میگیره. البته این دیدگاهی است که اونها دارن، ما اعتقاد داریم که هم تورات و هم انجیلی که نازل شد بر دو پیامبر بزرگ خداوند غیر از آن چیزی است که امروزه بین مردم وجود داره. ایشون میگن که زمانی که آب به شراب داره تبدیل میشه و اینها، حضرت مریم به عیسی اعتراضی نمی کنن و در اون طرف هم حضرت عیسی در واقع احترام حضرت مریم رو نگه می دارن و می فرماید که این در واقع نقش مادری که حضرت مریم برای حضرت عیسی داشت، این به خود کمالات اخلاقی، روحی و عبادت‌ها و خلوص نیت حضرت مریم برمیگرده و همه کمالات رو در حضرت مریم میتوانیم جستجو بکنیم. ببخشید. بله.
I think we can a lot of similarities about women in the religion, and based on that we can unify between us and you about women and family in around the world. And I have to show my respect to Prophet daughters in Islam, Fatima, and talk about Fatima to you and تشویق کردن to and encourage you to study about the Prophet daughter Fatima. When I want to talk in short words about Fatima, I have a model, and I speak about that in these words. When I want to explain the Fatima for other people who are not Muslims and who don't get familiar with Fatima, I say when you study about her worships of God, you think she was nun, rahibe? Nun. She was a nun in the church, and she had not any duties about the family and as a mother or as a wife, because she had a lot of worships for God. And if I want to talk and show you some evidences about the Fatima when he make her duties about she make makes made some duties about the husbands, her husbands, you think she was a princess who had no any duties about the children or about the society or about the other people. She talked with her husband in poetry, and we now we have a lot of poetries created by Fatima when she talked by with her husband. And if I want to talk about herself as a human in the society and a citizen of the city, you think she was activities in the society because she knew a lot about her society, and she act as a human for her environment, and she has a lot of actions about the poor people or about a lot of ignorance and bad traditional in her society. And if I want to talk about her motherhood, you think he had no husband, he had no duties about the society, he has no duties about God, because a lot of mercy and a lot of peace she grant her children. I mean, I want to say we as a woman face up a confliction in our life, such as gathering between mother role, wife role, and our role in the society as a keeper job, but we can الهام گرفتم. We can receive some inspiration of Fatima's life, and I don't want to get you an example against your example about Maria, because we believe in Maria, we believe in Jesus, we believe in Muhammad, we believe in Fatima, and as Muslim we love them a lot. But I want to get your attention about the ائتلاف کردن، وحدت داشتن. To unify. من گفتم خودم مثلا کلمه دیگه شاید هست. To unify as a believer of God, as a follower of God, especially about the family. You know homosexuality is a treatment in our world, and we can get a cultural war against homosexuality, against LGBTQ plus, because of family, because of our differences between man and woman, that can keep us as a human in this world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We express our appreciation to our colleague, Dr. Ella Svende, for her fruitful lecture. Is there any question?
I agree with you, and it's a very nice encounter to know the role of women in the Quran and in the role of women in the Bible. Now, if I observe well, we have spoken about the biblical issues and the issues in the Quran about women in two different directions. I have spoken very much on the gender equality. And the professor, I don't remember the name, has spoken about the role of women in the family, the interpersonal relationship, which is very, very important. They are not contradictory, no way. But they are both burning issues of today. Because in the Catholic Church, the lot of discussion is on the gender issue, the equality of man and woman. And towards that, we are working on, which is very important, and the role of women in the church as an institute of God. But what the professor has spoken is the role of women in the family, which the church considers as the domestic church. The family is the first nutshell of the universal church. So the role of women in the family gives the openness to the women in the role in the church, in the public. So we have spoken the two faces of the same coin. I have spoken in the general term, she has spoken in the particular term. So in both ways, we are very much complementary. And this is what I like. It's very important. So importance for women in both the religions is in a progressing manner. So beautiful. I like that. Thank you so much.
ایشون تشکر کردن. خلاصه حرفایی که ایشون زدن اینه که میگه با دقت، میگه وقتی دقت میکنیم روی حرفای شما، ما میرسیم به این در واقع برداشت هایی که در مورد از قرآن و انجیل در خصوص بحث نقش خانم ها و ارتباطشون در جامعه و نقش خانم ها در جامعه مطرح میشه. فهمه که در کلیسای کاتولیک هم بحث های مختلفی راجع به تساوی حقوق مردان و زنان هست، حتی در کلیسا به عنوان یک تشکیلات معطوف به خداوند. میگم ما باید این آزادی رو که در کلیسا الان مطرح شده این در خانواده و در جامعه هم باشه. بعدشون گفتن که من فکر میکنم که نظرات ما بیشتر مکمل هم دیگه است. هرچند که بعضی جاها در واقع ما ممکنه که اشتراک دیدگاه نداشته باشیم، ولی در خیلی از جاها میتوانیم و دیدگاه‌ها با هم دیگه میتونن در واقع تلفیق بشن و دیدگاه مکمل داشته باشیم.
Thank you so much. I think Professor Alasvan didn't only mention two family values. Professor Alasvan said in Quran we see many verses about the social duties of women. And I think in the Bible what's the most important ideas is about the kingdom of God. My question is what is the women's role in the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God, some Christian, for example, Rosemary Radford Rutter, as a feminist theologian, says kingdom of God exists now. And women are very important role in this world and in this kingdom. But some of Christianity believe kingdom of God will be exist after coming Jesus. What's your idea? Is the very important role of women in this kingdom in the now world in the this time in the same time or only after coming Jesus?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's a very interesting question. I hope to answer you the way you desire. Let's see how to put them together. So the role of women in the kingdom of God, I would like to clarify the kingdom of God. Kingdom of concept is very much present in the Old Testament, but it is understood in a very, very tangible, concrete, political manner. The Israel waited for the kingdom of God and they thought it is the normal political kingdom. Instead, the kingdom of God and its meaning, the biblical meaning of the kingdom of God is a reign. It is a kingdom. It is a rule where justice and peace will flourish. Justice in every sense. Political justice, religious justice, human justice, in every sense, justice and peace will flourish. So Israel in the Old Testament was looking for a kingdom where it was not possible. They did not experience it in the time of Saul, David and Solomon. There was a lot of bloodshed. There was no peace as such. But because of this, it was a desire for peace and justice. In the New Testament, the kingdom of God, the concept becomes very concrete and it is applied to the person of Jesus. Jesus himself is the kingdom. In him there is justice, in him there is peace. So the role of women in the kingdom of God in living towards this justice, towards providing this peace in Jesus. So Jesus is prepared in the Old Testament, is realized in the New Testament. So Old Testament and New Testament is all together for Jesus. Jesus is present. Jesus is present, but he becomes man in the New Testament. So it is a salvation history rendered very concrete. But the concept of kingdom of God in the Old Testament is eschatological, something that is will happen in the future. In Jesus, it is rendered present. Therefore, Jesus' living of the kingdom is his attention towards everyone, to the poor, to the children, to the women, to the sick, and to the rich, to everyone. His approach is justice towards everyone. In fact, he met the prostitutes, he met the tax collectors, he met the rich men, he met the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. For everyone, he had a word of something true and something just. So justice is personified in Jesus. Women's role in the kingdom is living the values, the teachings of Jesus, which does not distinguish only for women, only for men. The disciples of Jesus are everyone who follows him.
Thank you. ببینید ایشون سوالی که در جوابی که دادن خلاصش این میشه که یک پادشاهی خداوند رو Kingdom of God مطرح شده که در عهد عتیق آمده ذکر شده که این فهمه بیشتر یه تشکیلات شبه سیاسی پادشاه در عدالت و این پادشاهی در عدالت و آرامش است. عدالت در همه جا هست. بنی اسرائیل در اونجا خونریزی نکردن بلکه اشتیاق به عدالت داشتن. اما همین مسئله Kingdom of God یعنی پادشاهی الهی در عهد جدید به خود از شخص حضرت عیسی مسیح تعلق میگیره که در واقع ایشون نماد هست، عیسی مسیح نماد خداوند و اون عدالت الهی هستش. میفرمایید که عیسی مسیح همون شخصی است که هر دو کتاب یعنی عهدین برای او و درباره او هست و نجات بخشی او در اونجا مطرح شده. این که حضرت عیسی سلام الله علیه اون پادشاهی رو ترک کردن بر اساس اون روایات انجیلی که وجود داره، این به خاطر این است که حضرت میخواستن به عنوان پیغمبر خدا به اونایی که نیاز به توجه داشتن توجه بکنن. به همین دلیل که سراغ بیماران، سراغ نیازمندان و حتی سراغ اون اغنیایی میرفتن که به مردم کمک نمیکردن، ولی میخواستن اونها رو ترغیب بکنن که اونها مردم کمک بکنن. و هدف اولیه و اساسی که در حضرت عیسی مسیح وجود داشت این بود که حرف ایشون این که شخصیت از عیسی مسیح شخصیت نجات بخش بود. بعد میگم که نقش زنان در این پادشاهی الهی که وجود داره نقشی است که برمیگرده به زندگی کردن بر اساس ارزش‌هایی که حضرت عیسی مسیح مروج اون ارزش‌ها بوده.
من آخرین قسمت رو میتونم بگم که related to some propaganda against Iran as a Muslim country. In the end of my words, I want to talk about idea of supreme leader in Iran. When he talked about women, he emphasizes on two important points. First, he said we don't believe in ideal type of women as a mother, as a human who do homework only. I mean, the domestic role for women is very important, and we believe in motherhood and in wifehood as roles that they have not any other jaygozin alternative. As alternative, but the ideal type of women we follow in Iran, not the woman who do domestic role only. And we cannot hold up the modern woman who don't like domestic role and leave motherhood and wifehood as a female role, because ignorance of this role cause to ruining of family. So after that he said we want follow the woman in Iran that can gather between all space between both of them And the second thing he always insists on is the operation in the private place for women, I mean house. Authorities and governors in all of society can search about operation in the society, in the public life for women. But he talked about the private atmosphere for women, I mean the relationship in the house. Based on these theories, based on this view and this approach, I give you some information about women in Iran, and I want to show you a result of this ideal type for women in the Iran, in the Islamic Iran as a country, as a Muslim country. For this reason, all statistics related to women have made significant progress in these four decades in Iran. For example, after Islamic Revolution in 1957 until the end of 2021, in the field of education, the share of women in university faculty members increased by 33%, and in medical science university by 34%. And the number of female students in university increased by 56%. Also, the illiteracy of women and girls has been eradicated with a ratio of 99%, and the ratio of female to male students has increased by 28%. After the Islamic Revolution until 2021, more than 9,500 female authors and 840 female publishers were active in the country. In the field of health, more than 85% of births were performed by obstetricians and gynecologists for every 100,000 women in the country. There are 60 midwives and other numbers about the progress of women. I mean, we as a Muslim, with our hijab, with our duties, with our some rules in the family, live in Iran, and we can go forward with our life. And all of women in this conference, as Iranian women educated in Iran and get married in Iran and get children in Iran and go forward to a lot of progress in future. I mean, you as a Catholic woman can understand us as a believers in God. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Very sincere and warm and cordial thank you to everybody, especially to our guest from Italy. And we've learned very much from from you from Italy as a person associated with the church in Italy, and also our colleague Dr. Ella Svens highlights and her the main points that she raised in her lecture proved very intriguing and thought-provoking. We wish all the best for all participants. Thank you.
Don't forget, I come from India. Though I'm in Rome, I come from India and I'm teaching here in Rome. But I've got still my Indian passport. I'm here only as a temporary resident. 25 years in Italy, I'm still teaching in Angelicum, but I'm from India. So I know very well how the different religions function. In India also, we have problems.
Your Indian English pronunciation is the emblem of your nationality. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Are we done? We stop here?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The webinar is over. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah.